I hope you felt a little bit and caught a little bit of glimpse of why that's one of my favorite things to do, to affirm someone's life and the life of Christ in them. There's a proverb, Proverb 29, that is one that I've encountered often and I've wrestled with, and I just recently read it in a different version of Scripture, in the Message version. I want to read it to you. It goes like this. It says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. I believe we just caught a glimpse of what God is revealing. Right? This vision that Sydney and the rest of this community around her, which is bigger than just Five Stones, bigger than just Ashland, Ohio, her community that's affirmed the work of the Spirit in her, we have caught a glimpse of what God is revealing, and we are just now, having participated in it, are caught up in this moment. Not stumbling all over ourselves, not wondering what's going on in the world or what he's up to, but knowing in this moment, seeing what he is doing, catching a glimpse of his kingdom coming in this way. We are most blessed. Most blessed. And here we are on week one of 2020. Right? In another career. I did a whole lot of organizational theory and organizational goals, and you know, we all have this 2020 vision, right? And that we were pushing towards and moving towards, and I look at that now and I think to myself, that was cute. And maybe some of us in our organizations reached those goals, and maybe some of us didn't, but the idea is we were searching for a glimpse of what was to be. We were looking for, trying to plan for even, how to order ourselves to live into what was supposed to happen in our minds. Because if we can't see what God is doing, we will stumble all over ourselves. But when we attend to, when we live into what he's revealing, then we become blessed, most blessed, this version of Scripture says. And so as today, we start this week, a new decade, not just a new year. We have this moment, right? Maybe cliche for some of you, but I think a very appropriate time to stop and ask ourselves, what is it that God is revealing to us? What is it that we need to attend to? At Five Stones, when I first arrived here, there was a practice that we had, where somebody would say, God is good. And then other somebodies in the room would say, also some of you remember, God is good all the time. And then the person in the room would say, and all the time, see, there's this thing, this practice that we had. It was more than just a slogan, right? In my mind, it was a spiritual discipline. It was a way of reminding us what God is up to, maybe not in infinite detail, but generally speaking, that there was a goodness, that our lives were caught up in it, that he is continuously, all the time, revealing his goodness to us. More than a slogan, a discipline. Because I don't know about you, but when a group of people kind of shout out a repetitive thing like that, I get skeptical, right? Especially if someone is talking to me and telling me that all the time things are supposed to be good. Well, that's not what we're saying. We said God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. But in my mind, I'm like, yeah, right. Because I flip on the TV and I see that there's a bunch of stuff that's not good. I wake up in the morning and I encounter grumpy people, most of the time grumpy person, and it's me. Not all the time are things good. Not all the time are our situations and our circumstances what we would define as good. Can anybody say amen? But when we can't see what God is doing, we will stumble all over ourselves, the text says. But when we can catch it, a glimpse of it, and step into it, we're blessed. So when we say God is good all the time, and all the time God is good, it's a way for us to continue putting a lens in front of our face, insisting on looking through it to find the good God that's present. Well, there's another discipline that we have developed here over the last year, and that is this thing here. It's not just a modern art sculpture. This is something we call our Ebenezer. Ebenezer is a sort of a compound grouping of Hebrew words. It means stone of help, and it comes from a story in the Old Testament from the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel, chapter 7, and it's a discipline that we have, that we've been cultivating, continue to cultivate, that actually ties us into a discipline that God's people have engaged in for all of this time. And so I want to relate to you this story so we remember what this discipline is about. So we remember to keep the lens on our face that there is a good God and he's present. And he wants good things for us, even though not everything is good all the time. So these people, God's people, called the Israelites, they had a lot of trouble with a group of people called the Philistines. The Philistines were kind of, they were a pretty tough crowd, right? They kind of whooped on the Israelites quite a bit. In fact, we would kind of say that they were constantly like terrorizing them. They were constantly defeating them in battles and skirmishes. They were constantly frustrating the Israelites' attempts to just live a decent life. The Philistines introduced and maintained an atmosphere of fear in the life of God's kids, the Israelites. One of the worst things that could ever happen in this story to the Israelites happens. They had this piece of furniture, really, but it was holy and sacred, called the Ark of the Covenant. It was carried around with them. It represented God's presence moving with the people, his people. And these Philistines took it, stole from God's people this incredible symbol of God's presence, this incredible symbol and image of their own identity. And the Philistines had taken it. And in this story, where we get introduced to the Ebenezer, in this story, we come into chapter 7, the ark has just been returned to God's people. This symbol of their identity, this very real and pragmatic sort of place where they could count on God's presence, where they could connect with him, this good God that is good all the time. It's finally been returned. And so the story starts in verse 1 of chapter 7. So the men of Kiriath Jearim came and took up the ark of the Lord. They brought it to Abinadab's house on the hill, and they consecrated Eleazar, his son, to guard the ark of the Lord. So it's been brought back into the family, right? It's been taken to a particular family's house, and there's been a guard placed over it. And it says here that the ark remained there in that place a long time. 20 years, actually. So this thing that had been taken, super important symbol of identity and God's presence and favor and goodness in their life that had been stolen and taken, has been returned and now finds itself here. And then the story turns back to the Israelites, off of the ark, off of what's been going on in the Philistines, and back to God's kids. It says, then all the people of Israel turned back to the Lord. Like this thing happens. This piece of furniture, albeit really important, had been taken from them. It's been gone for a while. It comes back. It's been back for a while. Then all the people of Israel turned back to the Lord. So when this was gone, they must have turned away from the Lord. That's like the inference here, right? So Samuel says to the Israelites, if you're returning to the Lord with all of your hearts, then rid yourselves of the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths and commit yourselves to the Lord and serve him only. And he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. And so the Israelites put away their Baals and their Ashtoreths and served the Lord only. So you hear in this text, this symbol of their identity, this symbol of God's presence, his goodness, his power had been taken, and they forgot who they were. They forgot who they were. They forgot who had led them. They forgot who had provided for them. They had forgotten about the goodness of this good God that was good all the time. And so they sought out other answers in other gods, in idols, right, in other activities. If you're really returning to the Lord with all your hearts, then rid yourselves of the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths and commit yourselves to the Lord and serve him only, Samuel says. Samuel is calling them back to the goodness of God. He's calling them back to the power and the authority and the provision of this good God. He's calling them back to their identity as people of this good God. Then Samuel said, "Assemble all of Israel at Mizpah, and I will intercede with the Lord for you." And when they assembled at Mizpah, they drew water and they poured it out before the Lord. And on that day they fasted, and there they confessed, "We have sinned against you, Lord." Now Samuel was serving there as the leader of Israel at Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that Israel had assembled there, Mizpah means watchtower. It's kind of cool how in their stories they name the places after like what they represented. They were there at watchtower looking out over, you know, the land. And the Philistines came up to attack them. And when the Israelites heard of it, they were afraid because the Philistines, the people that had been whipping their butts, who had stolen their identity, who had compromised their worldview, who had taken from them their ability to be themselves. They were afraid because of the Philistines. And they said to Samuel, "Don't stop crying out to the Lord God for us, that he may rescue us from the hand of the Philistines." I love this part of the story. I love the fact that in this moment, right? Shortly after, they'd said, "Okay, yeah, we're going to get rid of all this other stuff. Yep, we're going to commit ourselves to serving God only. Yep, we confess we've really messed up." The attack comes back. The thing that plagues them has come back. The thing that compromises them, that threatens their identity, comes back. And they say, "All right, don't stop crying out to the Lord for us." I don't know about you. 2019 for me had some very difficult moments. Some pretty hard places. Still limping around right now because of one of those things that happened to me. And I just said out loud to somebody in this very room this morning, I came out of my mouth before I was able to actually think about it, that not only did this injury and this surgery and one that's coming up in a couple of weeks, not only is it painful, it hurts, but it kind of, the thing that brings me anxiety is I don't know how to be me with one good leg and one arm that works. Maybe that sounds trivial to you. But if you've been injured, if you've had major operations, you get this. Compromises my identity as a strong guy, as a guy that can do things. These injuries are not new. This knee surgery was my 10th surgery. I've been injured a lot. I've been broken a lot physically. In fact, I would say this is the thing that keeps plaguing me over and over and over again, these physical setbacks. And I'm pretty bummed that I got another one coming in a couple of weeks. And I read this, "Don't stop crying out to the Lord our God for us, that he may rescue us from the hand of the Philistines." And it sort of put me in my place this morning. That I don't know that if I was standing there wrestling with the stuff I'm wrestling with, that I would have said the same thing. Can I be honest like that? Is that okay? Can I tell you that when you struggle with something for a long time, sometimes you feel like just giving up? Doesn't matter what it is. Physical stuff, financial stuff, relational stuff, spiritual stuff, family stuff. Sometimes you just feel like, whatever. Taking your feet off the pedals and coasting till it stops. But if we lose track of what God is doing, we'll stumble all over ourselves. If we stop looking for what he's revealing, then we won't be able to step into it. We'll miss out. Not on some weak concept of a blessing, but on a very real way of life that's informed by the creator of the universe exerting his power, his influence, his reign, and his rule over all things. We'll miss out on that. This good God that is good all the time, even though circumstances aren't always. So if you, like me, have thought, are thinking about giving up, hear these words of the Israelites. Don't stop crying out to the Lord God for us, that he may rescue us from the hand of the Philistines. Then, verse 9, then Samuel took a suckling lamb and he sacrificed it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord, and he cried out to the Lord on Israel's behalf, and the Lord answered him. While Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. That thing's coming back. But on that day, I love the emphatic wording, on that day, the Lord thundered with loud thunder against the Philistines, and he threw them into such a panic that they were routed before the Israelites. They ran, they stumbled all over themselves. The men of Israel rushed out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, and they kicked their tails. The language is less pretty than that. And then verse 12 says this, then Samuel took a stone and he set it up between Mizpah and Shen, and he named it Ebenezer, saying, thus far the Lord has helped us. And as the story goes, the Philistines were no longer a problem. The problem was no longer a problem. God's people had seen what he was revealing. It says that they then captured, they retook everything that had been taken from them. And then there was peace. When we lose track of what God's doing, we'll stumble all over ourselves. But when we catch a glimpse of it and we step into it, when we attend to it, we'll be blessed, the word says. Sometimes the circumstances of our lives, your life and mine, cause us to sort of forget who we are. And in those times, like Israel did, when they forgot who they were, we begin to behave like we're someone else. Turn to things that aren't the good God that is good all the time, that aren't consistent with our identity as his kids. So, God is good, and all the time, and we have this Ebenezer, and it's been filling up all year long. And now this is the turn of the year. All of these stones represent your stories. My stories. I've dropped a few in here. Of when God showed up. Of when God came and he helped. When God routed. Threw out, cast out, took care of, provided for. These are your stories. These are our stories. From 2019, every stone represents a moment when God revealed what he was doing. And it's a tradition, it's a discipline, it's a way of us keeping our eyes on what he's up to, the good God who's good all the time. I'm going to do something that represents the turn of the year. I believe his goodness has not come to an end. And we have another year of God's stories. We have another year of looking for what he's been up to. We have another year of telling each other about his goodness in our lives, even in the midst of circumstances that aren't good. Along with this Ebenezer, we have this book of testimony. And I know, maybe that sounds weird. But it's a book where we write testimonies, where we tell the stories of what God has done and is doing in our lives. And I'll read this this poem that I picked up from one of our sister churches in Mexico. And it means a lot to me. And I hope by hearing these words, you'll give more weight to these words that are your words. So this is about the stones of remembrance, the Ebenezer that gets tilted up. The past has passed. We don't live in the past, we live today, right? But we write down God's faithfulness today so that in the future, this record will serve as a reminder of God's faithfulness, which will give us strength and will strengthen our faith to continue forward in the today of tomorrow. You get this? These stories, those stones, the things we say about him and about ourselves, the moments when we've caught a glimpse of what he's revealing, it's so important for us. They will give us strength and will strengthen our faith and continue forward to in the today of tomorrow. And I just want to read a few of these. And then we're going to take a few moments to reflect on our year. Personally, we're going to take a few moments to reflect on the goodness of God in our lives. We're going to have a little music playing in a couple moments, and you're going to have a time, just you and God, to think about, for him to retell the story to you, for him to point it out again. And then we're going to invite you, if you've got a testimony, if you have a story of God's goodness during that time, just come up. Drop one in as a reminder of his goodness so that every one of us that looks at this, whenever we're around it, can be reminded of his faithfulness time and time again. As often as a stone drops in there, as they continue to layer on top of each other, we see the layers of the stories of his goodness. After God took care of it, Samuel tips up the stone and he said, right now, look at this. From wherever we are in the land, we can look across the hills and see this stone and remember when God did this. I'm so thankful for his faithfulness. God has always provided for me. In spite of my fears and my need for control, I depend on this. Provision, in spite of fears and need of control. Thus far, God has helped. When I first came to AU, I was an extremely introverted individual. You know, this wasn't mine. I had no desire to teach the word and was honestly fearful of even praying in front of others. God worked in me by providing courage and the desire to share what he has done, what he has done. Now I teach Bible study for my sports team and have become a team captain. I can't thank God enough for how he has worked in my life. Although issues come up, I don't stay stuck as long. There is movement toward him. Thus far, God has helped. God brought back a childhood trauma, and it was wrecking my faith and my mental health, and it took me a while before I started telling my community what was going on. People started to ask me where my sparkle had gone. It was then that I realized I had stopped praying, I had stopped listening to God, and when I started telling people, they were responding with amazing words from God. Two blessings stood out. You are not lost, you are broken, but so was Jesus, so that you could overcome it. God brings back those memories so we can work in that aspect, so he can work in that aspect of your life. These are the words this person was given. It is today that I can say God has shown me that he is working in that aspect of my life so that I can learn to trust and to love again, just as God loves me and my community. Thank you, God, for blessing me with a community of people that I can call family. Five Stones has become like a family. The feelings of acceptance and belonging are unlike any other church I have attended. Thank you, Jesus. Through trials and joyous times, our community has been there for me. I have been in church since I was a child, and God has been a constant. But this community is the first time I have felt truly accepted for who I am by humans. This has allowed me to settle in and discover more about myself and accept myself fully for who God created me to be. I know the next step I'm feeling called to explore and the areas I need to stretch myself. I know God has placed me here because it is a safe place to do this. I'm so blessed by this community. I'm grateful for God placing me with such a beautiful family. These are just a few of the things that were written. A few of the stones that have been tipped up for you and I to see, for you and I to look out over our time together, for you and I to catch sideways in a glance and be reminded by that person's life and their witness and their testimony that God is good all the time and that all the time God is good. So I want to give you some time now, you and Jesus, you and the Father. Spend some time. Ask him to remind you. Ask him to point out. Ask him to show you the places in your life where you need to tip up some stones. And then as you feel led, come up and drop one in. If you feel led, write it down. Write something down about it. If we don't see what God is doing, we'll stumble all over ourselves. This year, let us not do that. Let us continue to look for where God is good. Amen? Jeremy, can you give us some reflective music? Let me lead us into this time with some prayer. Father, sometimes when we read your word, especially in places in the Old Testament, it seems like an adventure story, like a choose-your-own-ending novel. God, we're grateful that your spirit keeps taking us back, keeps looping us back. God, keeps giving us eyes to see the stones tipped up all around us. Evidence of your life and your love at work. Thus far, God has helped. This is the place that he jumped in, he parachuted in and rescued me. This is the time when I had nothing and he gave me what I needed. This is the moment when that broken relationship turned around. This is the space where dreams weren't working out the way I thought they were supposed to. And in the big field of the unknown and uncertainty, I found grace and provision and adventure that I never knew was waiting for me. God, speak to us, remind us of your goodness.